Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT 820. And it is now time to go around the town.
And here we are again.
Snowy day in Chicago.
Yeah, well, the weather outside is frightful, but here in the studio, it's delightful. I had to say that. I had a great week last week, and I want to thank all the wonderful people at Highland Park Hospital. You know, I had that heart surgery,
right?
And I've been spending a little bit of time, 3 days a week, at Highland Park's cardio rehab program. Well, I got my diploma. I graduated. They didn't do caps and gowns. Nobody did a cupcake or anything, but for the first time, when the ladies did my check-in, they usually have very cold hands. I don't know if they do that on purpose so that my blood pressure goes up, but it was pretty good. Nobody froze me out. But I do want to say, Robin, your crew, your ladies are great, and even Cool Hand Rachel. It has really been a delight working with you. I will stay on target. I promise you. I will continue to work out and keep my heart healthy. I will come back to visit you when I'm in Highland Park, but just to say hello and not to have another class.
Well, here's the important question. Did you join a gym?
I did. In fact, Jane and I went yesterday and got the tour and the whole thing. So starting Monday, which is tomorrow, I'm going to fight the snow and the wintry weather and go inside and work out for an hour, and I'm going to do that every single day.
Do you know it's one of the most important things for people that have had cardiac surgery or cardiac stents is to maintain and to keep doing what they were taught?
Right. Well, I also want to say, even though I know eating some of the food that I eat is probably not the best.
You're a hamburger nut. I know that.
Last week, we talked about North Branch and gave away some gift cards again, and I went to North Branch with our family. We ended up having dinner there again. So I decided, guess what? We're going to let some more people enjoy the wonderful food at North Branch. In about a half an hour after we have our mid-break, we're going to have a little contest and give away some goodies. So my website is aroundthetownchicago.com.
Which I'm looking at right now.
Okay. If you go to the little section where you can put in something, fill it in with North Branch, N-O-R-T-H, B-R-A-N-C-H, and you will find a review of the restaurant. When we went to the restaurant, we went with another couple, and Alan, who was another Alan, luckily spelled the same way as mine, but it doesn't matter, Alan made a comment about the menu. So when I say menu, it'll be time to call in, and that's not going to be until about 2:30 or so, and that number will be 773-763-9278. Wait till you hear the word menu, and the first caller who has the right answer will win, and the ninth caller that has the right answer will win a $25 gift card to go to the restaurant and have a great time and have a great meal.
I don't know how you do it after bypass surgery and all that to keep eating pizzas and burgers, but yet whenever you go out to dinner with me, it's always a salad or soup.
Well, because I know you're watching. When nobody's watching is when I can do the other. This is a very, very busy, busy week.
Yes, and you've seen a lot this week.
Oh, and I think the most important thing is that my wife joined me for 3 plays, and she didn't take a nap. It was a marvelous week.
That is almost bordering on the word miracle.
Wonder of wonder, miracle of miracles. Jane stayed awake for all 3 plays.
But yeah, you've seen some good stuff this week.
Actually, yes, some really good stuff that's going on right now. One of the shows, in fact, last night we just went to see The Producers, which I won't have reviewed. My review won't be up until tonight because one of the things I did after having the heart surgery was I don't write the review that night. I wait till the morning. Well, Sunday morning, I go bowling.
Right.
I could have today stayed home and wrote the review because my bowling was pretty bad. But the show itself was a fantastic show. It is anything at the Paramount Theater. We were just talking before the show. The Paramount is an amazing. Jim Cordy has taken an old facility, rebuilt it, brought in some of the greatest talent that Chicago could see, and has done unbelievable work. So next week, my review will be up on Monday, and next week we're going to give away some tickets to go see the show at the Paramount Theater. But the show itself is an amazing production. It's a Mel Brooks hysterical comedy.
It's a classic Mel Brooks.
They took a movie, Mel Brooks' movie, and he took his own movie added the musical to it, and they make fun of just about everything and everybody that you can. It's all about a guy who's failing as a producer, not making any money. And he finds out through an accountant who tells him you probably can make more money by just selling investors and then having a flop, because then you get to keep the money. You don't have to pay back anything. And that's what it's all about. And we'll do more on that when the review will be up at Around the Town Chicago, probably about 10 o'clock tonight, because it's my son-in-law's birthday. I'm going to go out for some burgers for his birthday.
But go see the producers. You know what? Anything Paramount does is fantastic. I have never, ever seen anything bad there.
Right. It's amazing. And it just opened last night. It'll be good through March 17th, so we have plenty of time on that one. I want to get back to the plays, though.
Yes.
One of the plays that we saw this week, which is an amazing show, try to imagine if you had a child and that child was taken by one of these cults, and the cult has changed that child's life. They don't recognize you, know you, talk to you, and you want that child back. And maybe you want that child back because you really love and miss that child. Maybe you want that child back because your parents left a trust, or some relative left a trust that is in that child's name instead of yours. But if that child should sign it over, or that child should die, you get the money. So maybe you want that child because you want to get rid of that child, or maybe you want that. You know, so there's lots of different reasons.
Okay, this is a thriller.
This is a more than a thriller. It's a chiller of a thriller. It is an unbelievable show, and it is called On Clover Street, and it's an American Blues Theater, and that's one of my favorite theaters. And the cast is really an amazing cast, because they are on stage. It's a 90-minute play, and during that 90 minutes, no break, no intermission, we get to watch this entire kind of story unfold. Most people are sitting on the edge of their seat. I know that nobody fell asleep on this one. It is it's tense. Philip Earl Johnson plays this guy named Stein, and he is like the private detective. He's the guy that's going to bring this woman, Kate, who's Gwendolyn Whiteside, is unbelievable. You know, she hasn't done enough on the stage. She's kind of backed off a little bit. She's the artistic director of theater, and she's been busy trying to build a location find a location and do some other things and set up a school. They really want to teach more theater. And so she's been busy with that. So she hasn't done as many things. Watching her in this tells me, here's a woman that should be doing onstage work constantly. She is absolutely amazing. Watching her face, and the amazing part about this show is the physicality of it. Mm-hmm. The tension and the fighting because what happens is the girl shows up. Now they've got to change her thought process. But you don't know, because the mother says that may not be her daughter. The guy who brought her there to this motel, and it's a seedy motel. The set designer must have gone on Lincoln Avenue and checked a few of those in.
They stopped off at that motel on Lincoln Avenue.
At least there's five or six of them. He could have gotten some of their walls and brought them in. But let's give away some tickets to that. How about doing this? There's in my review, and that review is up aroundthetownchicago.com. There is a story about On Clover Road. And in there, I talk about the fight designer, fight choreographer. So anybody who can call in, the first person who calls in to tell me the name of the person who did the fight design for On Clover Road will get a pair of tickets to go see this fantastic show at Stage 773 on Belmont Avenue.
And, you know, and they do some great work. But I've noticed there's a couple shows coming out that are thriller-type shows. I mean, because I know they had, we saw at the Royal George, they did one, A Woman in Black, and then you saw two thrillers this week.
Well, the other thriller I saw was not quite the same kind of thriller, but it was a real mind thing. It's kind of like a gaslighting. It's called The Father. It's about an older gentleman.
And that's through Remy Bumbo.
That's right? Remy Bumbo. Yes. And they're at the Theater Wit over right. on Belmont, just the next door over. It's right down the street. And this one is about a man who looks fine, and he has a caretaker, and he doesn't want that caretaker. But his daughter does want him to have a caretaker. He talks about another daughter. We never see that daughter, but he loved her more. He talks about how she was his favorite daughter, but this is the one that's always there to try to help him. We keep seeing it again. This is a 90-minute no intermission. Lots of scenes. Some of the scenes are played more than once. You see them from his angle. You see them from her angle. That's the father and the daughter. Whether she's married or not married, whether she has a boyfriend or doesn't have a boyfriend, it gets confusing. So you really, really have to pay attention. But it is like you wonder if this is gaslighting. Gaslighting is where you're trying to convince somebody that they have a medical problem or a health right. problem or a mental problem, and you kind of get them convinced. So it looks like they keep moving furniture around. Is it his apartment? Is it not his apartment? Is he living with his daughter? Is he have his own apartment? And in 90 minutes, you watch this whole thing unfold, and it's amazing. It is powerful. As you get older, you start to think, could this happen to me? And, you know, I'm in that age group, and I have a lot of friends who are, and I know sometimes their memories are not all they think they are. Sometimes they remember things that they don't want to remember, but there are times that they remember things they should remember.
And even though I'm younger than you, we're seeing it even in my age group, too, and it's something that's affecting everybody. But have you noticed that theater in the last few years is getting more into recent stuff that's going on with the world? You have the Alzheimer's, and now you're getting a lot of shows that deal with mental illness. And you're seeing more and more of that in small theaters and stuff.
Well, I think the stories that come out, you know, it's about things that are real. I think more and more, you know, you can't keep writing the same stories over and over. I think it's time for people to take a look at it and look at what's going on. It's like I went to Citadel this last week. Mm-hmm. And Citadel's a lovely little theater up in Lake Forest. I guess that was Lake Forest High School at one time.
At one time,
and,
yeah.
And then they built a new high school, and they had this nice facility. They put a museum in there. They put a few different things in there. And this theater is a very intimate space. Even though it has a couple hundred seats, it might have been their assembly room or something before. It's really well done. And the production is a play that is called The Roommate. And it's about a woman in a small town who is divorced. In fact, when she got divorced, she kind of divorced herself from the world. She has a son who lives elsewhere. He's in New York, and she's not too sure about what his life is all about because they're kind of like they don't talk to communicate quite as much. And she decides to get a roommate, you know, a housemate. Mm-hmm. And she brings in this woman who, little by little, she discovers is not exactly what she thought she was. Turns out that she is a homosexual, but there's no relationship thing. But she also has a background that is not one to be proud of. And what happens is that they start to kind of become friends, and she sees in her roommate, with all these bad things, she sees a life, something that she hasn't had. So she gets a chance to start living, and she starts emulating her and doing what she does, and they're stories kind of flip-flop. I don't want to say too. There's another one where you don't want to know too much. It's worth taking a ride to Lake Forest to see. Just read my review. You'll get a good handle on it. It is one I think the Jeff people have already given it some.
Yeah, I know Jeff already nominated it.
Yeah, so it's you know, I don't just pick these out of the air, but I do know that everything I've seen in the last couple of years since Scott has really put his mind to it has really become really great. They find great talent. They're bringing in people from a little further. They're maybe opening up their eyes to plays that you normally wouldn't do in Lake Forest because Lake Forest is so kind of Lake Foresty.
Yeah, we know the snotty nose. But no, he loves that theater, and it's also his wife is with him. Also,
wife is in this one,
so and she's in a lot of his plays and stuff. And but yeah, he's out to make a name for that theater, and he's
doing a good job with it. He's doing a real real good job with it. I know you went to a couple of things this week, and I wanted to, before we go into that, I wanted to tell people about something. Last week I did mention slightly. We got into that little phone conversation with the caller about fighting, but there is something an amateur fight thing that for the National Italian Army American Sports Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. There's a night at the fights coming up on the 21st, 6 o'clock till 7. You know, first bout is at 7. It's in Elk Grove Village at Belvedere Events and Banquets. Supposedly some real real good fights. I guess there's 8 fights altogether. You can call for tickets. It's 312-226-5566. You can get general admission tickets are $150. You get Italian beef, beer, wine, soda, everything, and it sounds like an exciting night.
I wonder, do you get to bet on each flight? On each fight,
I don't know if they bet. I don't know if they bet. I think it's amateur. I think these are people going for contests and awards. And as long as we're talking about things that are coming up that are artsy, I wanted to let people know that there's a thing called the Project Onward. It's something on the south side, and it's going to be, they do a thing at this building. It's called the Bridgeport Arts Center. It's over on 35th Street. That's 3500 South. It's 3500 South. And this building is a art center. All these artists put on their own shows. They do displays. They're doing a thing with this Michael Smith. Michael Smith has a unique style for projects that are fashion and figure and form. Michael Smith is supposedly one of the best around. I don't believe there's a fee for it. It's February 15th. It's at 6 to 9 o'clock. On February 15th, 1200 West 35th Street, 4th floor, free parking, and go see it. Go look at this building because there's lots of artists that have things. You can learn more about things than you even know you wanted to.
You know, Valentine's Day is the day before, so if you need something that Friday, this is something to go to.
Well, yeah, Valentine's Day was a little overplayed, I think.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
Right, yeah. I mean, shouldn't your wife be, or your better half, shouldn't they be your Valentine 365 days a year? And why go on the night? Valentine's Day is probably the worst day to go for dinner because every restaurant's overbooked. Every restaurant wants to move people in and out and get those tables turning over. So you're kind of a rushed thing. Aren't you better off going the night before and saying, hey,
I've used that excuse before where I've gone, I'm good to you all year round. We go out constantly, and then I forget Valentine's Day or I'm stuck working, and now you're all upset.
The idea is, not to do it that way. Oh, but, I think it's a way that, like you say, Hallmark has kind of gotten us into the mood that you have to do it. And you have, the florists have gotten together and said, hey, it's a flower
money.
Thing.
Yes.
It's a candy thing. Come on. Yeah. Is it really? You think that St. Valentine walked around and gave out little cards to people or had those little candies that said, be my Valentine?
He did. But now, speaking of fights, because you mentioned the fight, you also saw a play that dealt with a fight. Also,
I did.
You saw a girl in the red corner.
Yes, this is Broken Nose, which is a kind of fight. Here it is about fighting. It's called the Broken Nose Theater Company.
It was at the Den.
It's at the Den, and it's kind of a weird little thing. It's in two acts, and I personally think it could have been one act. They didn't need the intermission, except unless people had to get ready for something, because there's a couple of fights in the second part of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they had to physically do anything or warm up to get, because the fighting is very, very real. It looks phenomenal.
Did they have to change the sets in the second act?
No change of set. The set is a few things that move in and out. There's hardly any scenery. It's done almost two sides. You're sitting on two sides, so you see the people on the other side of the stage. The stage is the floor. It's cushioned and covered in plastic. When you walk in, there are pieces of carpeting, like runners, mm-hmm. that you walk to get to your seats, and then they take the runners and push them under the grandstands. So you're sitting on a grandstand, only not too high. It's only three up, I think three or four up. It's very intimate stage. So when the fighting is taking place, you see it really close up. Okay. And I am amazed that the women in this thing that are doing these fights do not look black and blue all over, because they're really fighting. I mean, it looks like they're really fighting. It's another one that we have a new thing called the fight choreographers. You know, years ago, you saw it once in a while. Now there's a lot of that. They have that and the intimacy choreography.
And they keep coming up with stuff, and that means the Jeff Awards gets a little bit longer each time. But I noticed that they did combine a lot of stuff, too, like for best plays in now. And
right.
Instead of doing male and female, they just do one category. And so they have a lot more shows that are in that category.
That's true. And they, because they have more things happening, we have more theaters. And I learned last night, and I'll get more information on it this week, but there's another new theater company starting in Chicago, because we don't have enough. You know, we need more theater.
We only have 126, but let's just increase it.
So I had another note. Did you go downtown for the lighting of the new theater?
Well, as of this week, it's no longer called the Oriental.
Right.
It's now called the
Niederlander, James M. Niederlander Theater.
And if people don't realize, he's a very famous person when it comes to theater.
Oh, yeah. Well, New York is Niederlander Land, as you want to call it that. And he's kind of responsible for what we do here in Chicago. He's kind of the reason that we have all the Broadway and Chicago theaters. He wanted to bring his New York shows to Chicago. We didn't have enough theaters, and he kind of sparked the people to do Broadway in Chicago. So the son is, you know, it lit the lights in his family, but it no longer is. It was the Ford Theater, you know, the Ford Oriental, and then it became just the Oriental, and now it is the James M. Niederlander Theater. And there's a story about it and some pictures. Again, www.roundthetownchicago.com. It's all there for your view.
I actually had to take a picture last week when they had the new marquee up, but then they still had the Oriental marquee on the side and stuff.
Oh.
You know, so I got a picture of that. I said, before they remove everything, you know.
Well, do me a favor. Send me a copy of that, because I want to put that up on the site with the story.
Yeah, because that was nice. I had to go downtown to actually get theater tickets, so I had to stop off at the Cadillac, which was only two blocks down.
Right.
So, yeah, but it, you know, sometimes we do a lot of name changes, you know.
Well, it used to be the naming, you know, they started this naming rights thing. It's like, I remember when they first opened the Ford, you know, Ford Company was there.
Right.
Ford Motor Company had people there. When they opened the Cadillac Palace, they gave us small banks that were small Cadillac, Eldorados, I think it was. They were very nice. It was stainless steel, a really nice piece that they gave us. I think I gave it to my son, and who knows where it went. But it was very nice, and that's what they were doing. And look at the Schubert Theater has been...
How many name changes has that theater gone through?
Yeah, they have a revolving sign. The marquee used to revolve.
I remember Bank of One, Bank One. You just name it.
Well,
like,
no, never change. You gotta keep changing the name.
It's as bad as Sox Park, which I still insist on calling it Sox Park.
All right. I still call the Cubs Wrigley Field, and you know, even though Wrigley's not involved with it whatsoever.
I just had my cousin was in for California for a funeral, and we were driving down. He goes, "What building is that?" I go, "That's the Sears Tower." He goes, "Is it still the Sears Tower?" I go, "Oh, they tried naming it something else. I have no clue what the name is."
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with the bankruptcy.
It has nothing to do, but it's still Sears in my book.
People will always remember things the way they remember them. They're going to call them that because that's the way they remember it.
And I think that's how you know who the true Chicagoan is, who's been here for a long time, because we still remember the old names to stuff. And
of course.
And which
that's what we grew up with. That's the names we grew up with.
But yeah, they're going to be so now it's going to be called the Niederlander, and that's as of February this week that they've made that name change.
Oh, that name change is done. It's done. Friday they did the lighting, and Dear Evan Hansen opens up this week. We're going Wednesday night, so next week we will talk a little bit about Dear Evan Hansen.
And most people that don't remember, that's the play that won the Tony last year. It's a very powerful musical from what they tell us, but we'll find out and we'll talk about it next weekend.
It's about the...
It deals with mental illness
and a teenager going through the, you know, growing pains of being a teenager is always a rough thing. And I don't know if I told you, but we have coming on the show in 2 weeks... We're going to do something a little different. I have some friends who are musicians, and they're going to come on. Terry and her husband, Rich, they play in clubs, and they play in restaurants and bars, and they do all kinds of great music. But they do something. She's a psychologist, and they do a program with helping relationships, but through music. So they're going to come on here in 2 weeks, and they're going to do some music for us. They're going to explain their program. They actually have times where they get four couples or three couples. I'm not sure how many couples do this. And they get them all together and do like a seminar with music and therapy. And it's something that just helps relationships. It helps people who are having some problems. And I think music, they always say music is
they're using music in the hospitals all the time right now. There's a new thing now. Instead of using anesthetics, to actually use a music therapy to help put the person into a lower stage so that they can tolerate the procedures. Now, of course, it's minor surgeries and not the big, big ones. But
well, I got to say something, and I think back on this. When I had the first heart thing, which was 5 years ago, I remember getting to the hospital, and then I remember being carted in, an oxygen tank being put on, put on my face, the oxygen mask. And the next thing I heard was sound by Sondheim music. Mm. And I found out that while they were doing the surgery on me, while they were doing the stents, that's the music they had playing. And evidently, I had no tension. I didn't fight anything because I was relaxed because that's my kind of music.
Well, what we do is we in the operating room, we'll ask patients what type of music they like. And then before the anesthetic is injected, we actually play that music. And luckily, sometimes it's the same music that we like. And so they will play it. And you'll remember that. And a lot of patients, when you see them 6 weeks later, will say, I had this feel like an out-of-body experience. And I remember this music being played, and they'll actually name the song. And I even had one patient said, I even know that you said a joke in the operating room. And I'm like, well, I'm always joking. Well, she recited the joke word by word. So it got
I guess our minds do things that we're not even aware of sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of cool. I kind of like it. We're kind of used to doing things. I think I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago when you're driving down the street, how you don't notice you're going from point A to point B and you don't notice all the things around you. It's the same thing like mm-hmm. when you're listening to things. Do you really hear everything, or do you pick out the things that you really that are meaningful to you? So sometimes you're listening to something on the radio, you're listening to something on the TV, and you don't hear it exactly the way they said it because you only picked out the few things that had meaning to you. Mm-hmm. Going to see a play is the same thing. You can walk into a play that is really good, and four people can go out for coffee afterwards and talk about the play, and four people may have seen something differently. They may see, it's getting back to the father, some people may see it as that the guy is senile, he's an old man, and he's losing his memory, he can't remember where his watch is, he can't do this, can't do that. But some of them may go to that gaslight theory of the daughter doesn't want to have to take care of him. So if she can get him into an institution, mm-hmm. she can go off with her boyfriend and not have to worry about him anymore.
And I remember how many times we've gone to plays, and then afterwards you talk about it, and I say to my mind, did we see the same play?
Right.
Because to me, it's completely different.
Because we're all different. We all see things differently. Driving down the street, I see a bunch of empty stores, and I look at it as, oh, my God, it's terrible. All these businesses, everybody's doing everything online. They don't go to these brick and mortars anymore. Other people say, well, if I'm in real estate, I should go see if I can rent some of these things. I mean, there's lots of different things. Speaking of driving down the street, I just drove down here to Milwaukee Avenue, and I passed, my friend Dan LaCruz that I told you about. Dan is one of these State Farm guys that you got to love. He cares about you. He sits and talks to you right up front. No private office, nothing fancy. He's always dressed just like you are, casual. You go in, you say, Dan, I'm looking at my insurance. I got to fix my insurance. Did you go yet, Frank? I think he was waiting for you after last week.
I actually called.
Okay.
And I had a quote sent to me, so I'm comparing that. And, of course, you have to always wonder, do you go back to your old insurance company? But, no, he was very friendly.
Right, 20 years. He started from claims and marketing. And then he saw that where he wants to be is with you, the customer, the consumer. So, like a good neighbor, Dan's there for you and your family. Home, auto, life, it doesn't matter. Just call him, 630-516-0092, or up in Niles, 847-324-9595. And if you, like I said, if you stop by, you're a good neighbor, he'll be there waiting for you.
And tell him you heard it on this show. He might even be nicer and give you
I can't be any nicer. Can't be any nicer.
He might give you a cup of coffee.
We're going to take a little break here.
Okay.
We'll be back in a few. Does your business need a shot in the arm? Are you branded? Perhaps it's time to call Barry Siegel, the branding specialist, at 847-269-6900. Or visit his website at myadgifts.com. Barry will help you find the premium gifts for your clients, develop a program for repeat business while branding yourself and increasing your bottom line. He also offers reward programs for your employees. There are 5 benefits of promotional products for branding, from pens and keychains to shirts and jackets. Let your customers see your name everywhere. Barry will get you there with discount pricing. Call him at 847-269-6900. Increase your bottom line starting today. Looking for a reliable and established scrap dealer? Ecology Incorporated has been serving the Chicagoland area since 1974 with 2 recycling facility locations. They offer free pickup service for most items and provide all types of industrial containers and roll-offs. Items they recycle include all metals, copper, aluminum, brass, lead, carbide, iron, and also cardboard, bales of paper, forklift batteries, and truck and auto batteries. To bring your scrap in or request an industrial pickup, check out their websites, lakecountyscrapmetal.com and stcharlesscrap.com. Or just call 1-800-MY-SCRAP. That's 1-800-MY-SCRAP, 1-800-697-2727. Recycling today or tomorrow. The following program, Around the Town Chicago, your reach to Chicago's vibrant theater and dining experiences, is paid for by Eftikari Law Offices, practicing personal injury law and workers' compensation law for over 20 years. If you've been injured in an accident or on the job, Eftikari Law Office is the answer for you. And we're back. All right, let's go to the phone line. I guess we have Andrea. Hello, Andrea?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Okay, thanks for holding on.
Sure. So your answer to the best the fight design person is Gabby Labotka, L-A-B-O-T-K-A.
Right, you got it.
Gabby
was, and it was an unbelievable. Some of the movement was just amazing.
Very cool. Well, what you talked about, I mean, just explaining the story beforehand sounded so fascinating. I wrote down the name and thought, okay, I've got to see about getting tickets, and then you had the offer.
Here you go. So you definitely are going to see the show.
That's great.
Right. So we'll tell you, we have all your information?
No, all she took was my name, and then I'm from Evanston.
We're going to stay on the line, and he'll take care of you on that. We'll get all the information, and I will make sure you give your email, too, because it's quicker if I send it to you by email. It'll be a voucher, and all the instructions will be on there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for listening. And I guess we have...
And we actually have somebody that has a question for us.
Oh, okay.
Is this Patrick? Question.
Patrick?
Yes.
How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Okay, is it snowing where you are?
Yeah, it's starting to come. It's starting to show tire tracks on the road.
Okay. Well, we'll be a little. It might get a little slick a little later.
You must be in the suburbs.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, you're correct.
All right, so you had a question.
Well, you're talking about how you're able to listen to your surroundings while you're under. And I had a similar experience where my radio was set to go off to wake me up to music. And apparently I didn't wake up yet, but the alarm went off and I was still sleeping. So what happened was I was dreaming about a Smash Mouth song and I was floating above a green piano, watching people wearing green suits, all singing along and playing the piano, and I was singing along to it, and I knew, and I know now, that I never knew the lyrics to that song, and I was, in my dream, I was thinking, how do I know the lyrics to the song? And I woke up, and the song was on the radio at the same time.
I keep telling that to people. I need the real alarm to go off, because if mine goes off by music, somehow if I have a deep sleep, it'll be incorporated into my dream, and I don't wake up in time.
So how long did you listen to it? How long did you was it before you finally woke up?
I don't know. I mean, usually any dream that I remember, it seems like it's only for about 10 seconds long, but I'm probably longer than that. But I've had it where I tried to remember my dream, and the only way I could do it is if I was half asleep and trying not to fall asleep, but remembering, like, actually being in a state of between the subconscious and the conscious. And it's kind of tricky, but I believe that's possible.
There's the two parts to your dream. Yes. You have the REM sleep, so that's when you remember stuff.
Yeah, and it's hard to remember if you wake up right away, and then, you go to work, you have to hurry up and all that. But if you wake up really slowly, I found out that it's easier to remember, and if possible, write it down before you go back to sleep. But there's that. And another thing that happened to me is that I realized that our hearing is capable of picking up sounds that we're not even knowing that they're there. I used to work in this loud factory building medical trailers, and there's all kinds of machinery going on, and guys had their boom boxes playing inside the trailers and different songs, and I had this song in my head, and the next thing I know, they're playing it like down way on the other side of the shop.
Huh.
So it's like your mind, I believe, can differentiate between the sounds and pick it up even when you're not even
right.
Realizing.
That's the background. It's in there, and something comes up, and you don't know what it is. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
That's Mark?
Yes, hi.
Hi, you're on the air. You have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. I want to compare Chicago theater to, like, New York theater. Chicago has a lot of good grassroots theater. I don't think New York really has that. I think there's a lot of good experimental theater that Chicago has. And can you compare and contrast Chicago theater to, say, like, New York's theater?
Well, my personal feelings are that we're much better than what they have. There's this glitz and glamour on the Great White Way of Broadway. We have real theater. We have down-earth storefront theaters with people who just want to perform. We have more people who are willing to work at their craft for no money whatsoever, because they want to bring it to the people. We have, I think it's 100 little theaters that are.
We have over 132 theaters in Chicago,
and they're all over the place. They're on the north side, on the south side, in storefronts, upstairs in buildings, lofts, and people are there to see. If you build it, they will come, and it's true. If you build it, they will come.
Most people don't realize that Al was actually in New York and was on theater in New York.
Plays. I was an actor back in the 60s and 70s. And New York is wonderful. And there's off-Broadway and there's Broadway. But it isn't the same. And more actors than ever seem to be leaving New York and coming to Chicago because they find better work. The community is much more accepting of them. They're not always in competition. If you go on Facebook and you start reading some of the actors that are on Facebook, the love that everybody has for each other is amazing. This is the theater community. This is not the Second City. This is the First City when it comes to theater.
Remember when we were at the Jeff Awards, the Equity Jeff, in the fall? There was one guy that won one of the top awards who just came to Chicago 18 months earlier, and his whole speech was how accepting this whole town was for him.
Right. Yeah, they can come in, and they come in. Sometimes they'll bring them in for a Marriott, or they'll bring them in for one of the other theaters, and guess what? They stay.
Mm-hmm.
They don't leave.
Because the Steppenwolf Theater that Gary Sinise started, that's a grassroots theater that just took off and just blossomed. And I don't see that in New York. I don't know why doesn't New York ever have anything similar to that? Why is it more Chicago?
I think the people in New York are different than the people in Chicago. They're not Midwesterners, first of all. They're New Yorkers, and they have this different attitude about things. Or they feel that they have it all, and people will pay for it. And they have more tourism, I guess, and more people that are tourists that will go to the theater because they're there, and they'll spend the money. A lot of people on expense accounts will drop the $300-$400 for a ticket. So Broadway does very well because of that. But theaters like the Jane Street Theater, where Tick, Tick, Boom played for a long time. That was the play that was found that was written by Rent, by the same person who wrote Rent. Tick, Tick, Boom probably was one of the few that actually sold out on a regular basis. Lots of little theaters, even where the Sullivan Street Theater were the Fantastics. I did that show in 1960. Somebody can't remember now, so long ago, but we had nights where there were eight people in the audience. There were four people in the audience. They didn't care. Saturday night was always full. But you can go to a theater here. The coldest night of the year last week, when it was that whole frost thing coming in, and I went to see the show at Porchlight, and it was full. There was not an empty seat. So it just shows you the people here want their theater. They love their theater. They don't care Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever night it is. You go to a Monday night opening on Howard Street now, when you go to Theo Ubike, does their small little plays. And a Monday night they open, and Monday night they'll be filled. And Tuesday night they don't have a show, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they fill the place because people want their offerings. They want the plays that are being brought to them.
I think we want new things too. And I think Chicago does open up a lot of, we have a lot of small theaters that do brand new stuff that you don't see any place else.
Right. There's a lot of premieres here. A lot of premieres.
A tremendous amount of premieres. Okay, Mark, thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling. Well, that's always fun when people call, because people who are from New York and they come here, they don't know what to expect and anticipate. You know, you go to a place like the Gift Theater on Milwaukee Avenue, you walk in there and say, this is a theater? You know, why don't they just have a cup of coffee here and call this Starbucks? You know, I think Starbucks might be bigger.
I think some of our theaters, you're right, Starbucks is actually bigger. But I think Chicagoans, we are different. We don't really let the cold affect us. I think most people that complain about the cold are people that come from out of this state that moved to Chicago.
Well, there's no question about it. If you're born and raised here, you know what cold is. I mean, we had a polar vortex. We had a special 2 days of coldness. I grew up, it was cold all winter. And if it's February and you're in Chicago, expect it to be a little nippy.
We expect it, and we have this. Everything comes in cycles, so the cold comes in. The thing I like about it is when it's super cold, it's super sunny outside.
Right.
So you don't really the sun. I mean, I have a friend who came in from Florida for the last 4 days, and she was just, yesterday was National Pizza Day.
Yes, I heard that.
So we went to Luminati's. Okay. And
why not?
And we had pizza. She complained from the walk to the car to the restaurant on how bitterly cold it was. And I go, yep, you have got to be kidding me. It's sunny outside.
Well, you know, people who live like in Florida, my good friend Barry, who lives in Florida half the year, Barry has a problem now because he's moved to Florida and spent so much time there that his blood, I guess, has changed. And he, even in Florida, if it's 70 degrees, he has to put a jacket on. Now, you know me. I don't wear a jacket until it's really cold. I'm wearing short sleeves.
I went to L.A. last year to visit my aunt, and sure enough, it was in the 50s, low 60s, and people are all bundled up in their furs, in these polar coats, and I'm like going, give me a break.
All right, let's talk about some of the plays you saw.
Okay, so I went to see a couple plays. First was, I didn't know this, I mentioned this to Al last week when the show was about to end, saying, I'm going to go see Bonnie and Clyde, the musical. It's a new thing. And Al goes, nope, it's not new, because Al knows it. I mean, I never argue with him because he does know the answer. And sure enough, I looked it up. And yes, Bonnie and Clyde was a 4-week musical on Broadway because it didn't sell tickets. But it was a great music. It was by Frank Wilhelm. The lyrics were by Don Black. It was all about Al Capone and the gangsters.
No, it was Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Al Capone. Yeah, my mind just
wandered. He wasn't in that.
But it dealt with the 30s prohibition when they were big. And there were some great songs. It was a combination of blues, A little bit of rock and a little bit of gospel music.
Yeah, it is. And I saw the show when they did it, and I can't remember now. I know I reviewed it several years ago. It was done at Theater Wit, and it was cute. But, you know, I hope the Skokie Theater does well with it. I know they had a problem Friday night. I was supposed to go Friday night, and they had no heat. And they had no electricity, made it a little rough to put on a show. You know, even Mickey Rooney couldn't get that one going.
The nice thing about Skokie Theater is they got free parking right next door to them in the bank. And they remodeled that whole theater.
I've gone to a few things there. They have done, actually, the seats are fairly comfortable. There's good leg room, which is not, you can't say that about all the theaters. And I think more people should either use it as a rental or they should get more theater companies to come there.
Because I know Madcap took it over. And then the other thing I saw was, okay, I tell people if you're going to go to an opera, you have to go to a great musical one. Well, the one I'm going to talk about is not the one you use for your first opera. It's because this is only 100 minutes. It's by Strauss. It's called Elektra. And it is, talk about mental illness. It's a woman who goes literally crazy for 100 minutes just seeking revenge and murder. So,
well, it sounds like a wonderful piece.
What sells the whole thing is the sets. And, you know, Lyric is a huge.
Lyric has nothing but money for that.
They have the money. And this is a 2.5-story set. And you actually think she's climbing the mountains and the rocks that are all over this border. But if because of the 14th being this week and Valentine's Day, I recommend people go this weekend and see La Traviata. Now, that is by Verdi. That if that's a first musical, that should be the first opera that you go to.
Not musical. Let's call it an opera.
It's an opera.
It is. The only thing that's really on the positive note about Elektra being 100 minutes is that it's 100 minutes.
And no intermission.
And no intermission. So it's not 3.5 hours or 4 hours.
Right.
So if you're really a novice and you have never, ever been to the opera, 100 minutes is much more bearable than 400 of them.
I'm sure you have in your lifetime been to a Wagner.
Yes, I have.
And they're three and 4 hours long. Yes.
Yes. So those could be mind-boggling, if nothing else. You know, so we are the second city. We are the second city. Just for you folks to remember that we talked about Second City Prime Meat. They want me to remind you that if you call them or if you go online to secondcityprime.com, it's www.secondcityprime.com, pay attention to those steaks. They are delicious. They have some great seafood as well. But if you use the code for my listeners, if you use L-U-C-Y, Lucy, you're going to get a discount. And you're going to get it overnight, no extra charge. They're going to ship it to you overnight, so it's ready to throw into the barbecue on a beautiful day like today. Or you can put it in your broiler, and you can do different things with it. Or just put it in the freezer and wait for that warm weather to come. Save the 10%. Why not do that?
Last Saturday, they showed a picture on the internet with Chicago. You know, we were in our Coldsbury, so we were minus, 40 degrees?
And then
we went to positive 20, and there's these people actually barbecuing in their shorts with the snow all around because of the 50-degree temperature change.
Oh, yeah, think about it. If it was 75 and it dropped to 25, what a difference that would be.
Yes.
Or 25 went up to 75. Same thing.
Yeah.
And your body can really handle it if you're primed, and if you don't go out there and do a long time, as long as it was warm enough where you're not going to get any frostbite.
Right.
Because that's where you have to worry about it.
Yeah, we're so used to that. So now that we're getting short on time, what's on your agenda for this week?
This week, I have, we're going to the new theater.
Yeah, we're going to the new theater to see Dear Evan Hansen. That's Broadway in Chicago, and that starts February 12th, and that ends March 10th. So you only have about a month to see this.
Yeah, this is a touring company. So because of that, it's not one where they can say, hey, we're doing so good, we're going to extend it. They can't extend it. It's going to make the tour. It's going to be all over the place. And then we have a Writers Theater is doing Ma Rain at Writers. Ma Rainey is going to be there. I'm going to see that Thursday. Friday night, I'm going to see one of the Teatro Vista plays. It's called the Abuelas. It's at Victory Gardens upstairs in the Christensen. They do some really good work. It's the number one and the only Latina theater company, Equity, that's in this country.
Really?
Or the first. You know, it was started many, many years ago by Henry Godinez. And the people who do the shows are really, really top-notch. And this one is all about some great ladies, of theater will be in it, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. Then I'm going to Seussical the Musical on Saturday morning. I went to Hertz Rent a Kid because my grandkids have gone past. They're getting older. They said, you know what, we don't go to these little kid shows anymore. So I go through their friends and find somebody who has a friend who has a kid who's young enough to go and give me the viewpoint, because one of the things I like to do on the site is say, here's what an 8-year-old thought, because they don't care what I think. They want to know if they're going to take an 8-year-old, what did the 8-year-old think? So let's do it the right way.
See, I've known Al for 12 years, so I remember he loved going to these children things because he always had the grandkids that were only 4, 5, 6
right.
years
now
old.
My youngest is 8, and on Saturday she plays basketball, and she plays well. Rebecca is quite a basketball player. She's the tallest kid in her group. She's the hardest playing. I went yesterday and watched her, and she, I think out of the 18 points that the team had, I think she had 12. And she's not afraid to go everywhere.
See, it's amazing. How many 8-year-olds would say, I don't want to see the Seussical, the musical. I want to play basketball.
And especially little girls. You know, it's a different world we live in today.
It's a whole completely, it's changed.
It's a lot different. So before we hit the thing, I just wanted to say, this week, what are you doing? You're going to see anything this week?
I should be, and I don't have my schedule
all right, but
with
we
don't, me.
We know we did a taping of the show that's going to be on this week, right?
It's going to be on tomorrow.
This is a Comcast show that we do. So tell them about the show.
So we have a show. We have a show tomorrow, Chicago Theater Review, and that'll be on Mondays in the suburbs, and that's at 5:30, and that's on Comcast and WOW and RCN. So we're going to talk about some of the things that you saw now, but the nice thing is we're going to show you previews of a lot of those shows that are coming also.
Right, and if you look at my website, aroundthetownchicago.com, you'll have all kinds of up-to things. I do some cabaret things, you know that as well, and there's a couple things that are coming up. Heidi Ketterding is doing, and everybody knows Heidi, she's one of our Chicago dreams. I mean, she's just an amazing talent. And she is going to be doing a one-woman show for just on March 17th. She's going to be doing the music of Karen Carpenter. And I'm so looking forward to that. What we're going to do is before that, we're going to get her here. We're going to have her come to the studio. We are going to have her sing a few songs. And we're going to talk about the show and why she chose Karen Carpenter and how the trials and tribulations of doing Karen Carpenter, because Karen Carpenter had something that is very unusual, the greatest breath control of a singer.
I didn't know that. Okay. I just thought you
were
just
anorexic.
So now
you have the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would have said in the old days.
And, of course, Karen Carpenter's music, everyone that's over the age of 40 knows.
And right, yeah, so, and it was a real shame that we lost her. She was an unbelievable talent. And I think even her brother realized what a great voice she had and what a talent.
Because he didn't make it after she left. He did a few songs, but that was it.
Yeah, I think it was her that really
They
used to say Karen and Richard the Carpenters.
Yeah.
He was, because his last name was Carpenter, and he played the piano. That's about his story.
That's almost like Captain and Tennille. It was actually Tennille that did everything.
Right,
And the captain, we just knew him as a guy that wore a captain's hat and played the piano.
Right. That's how it works sometimes. So we have a lot of things happening. In the next couple of weeks, we're looking at doing a remote. Got a couple of restaurants that want us to come on out and do our show from that restaurant, and I think we're going to have to check the Wi-Fi and do a few things to do it, but it's looking good to do that.
I think that's going to be fun going out on location, especially to restaurants.
Right,
and
when we do it, you listeners are going to have an opportunity to join us and get to meet us, talk with us, and dine with us, because the restaurants are going to offer some special discounts. They're going to give you an opportunity to come and be on air with us, because we'll ask you questions. We'll say, how'd you like that? What did you order? And we'll get to know you a little bit.
Well, guess what? We're out of time, it looks like. They're playing our music.
And thank you again, Frank, for being here, as always. And thank you for listening. And tell your friends to check us out, aroundthetownchicago.com. We're there for you. Have a great week. See you next Sunday.
The preceding program, Around the Town Chicago, has been sponsored by Alan Breslov and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.